something, Chris. You've been eating your vitamins. You've been saying your prayers. We appreciate all you've done for Advent Conspiracy, man. Thanks. Let's give Chris a hand for what he's doing. It is amazing to see it just run wild. It just gets crazy. I mean, that's what happens with generosity and giving. It just pours out of our souls and into other people's lives, and it's just awesome to see and to hear. So way to go, church. We are stepping into our fourth Sunday of Advent. We have four candles lit up there, so that means there are no more Sundays between now and Christmas Day. Praise be to God. That also means four Sundays closer to getting Christmas presents, right? I remember when I was a kid, I would count down by the candles. And we all give gifts to each other. We receive gifts from one another. And when we give a gift or we receive a gift, and I'm talking about the presents that are spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, is when we give those kind of presents, we do it as an act of goodwill. We do it as an act of blessing. We want to be able to give to somebody, and we want to be able to bless them. We want them to enjoy what we give to them. We want them to need what it is that we give to them, and we want it to be something that we're saying to them, hey, I love you, I care for you, you're a friend, you're a family member, and I want to do it as an act of goodwill. Now, that's what we do when we give gifts, except for if you've ever been to a white elephant gift exchange. Anybody ever been to a white elephant gift exchange? We do one every year with our staff team here, and it is great. I mean, some of the gifts that come out of there, that listen, those are not done in love. Those are done to clean out your basement or to get the biggest laugh that you can. And it's just funny, some of the humor that comes out. Every time I have one of these gift parties, even with our staff, it's funny how the potty humor kind of comes out. And one year with a staff team a couple churches ago, someone had decorated a toilet seat. It was an old toilet seat with lights and a battery pack, and they put it in the box so that when it opened up, it was all aglow in more ways than one. Then there was a statuette of a Santa. Now, most statuettes of a Santa have a jolly old man with a red suit on and a bag over his shoulder, except for this one was taking a bath. He had a scrub brush over his back, and he had his little stocking cap on, a statuette, mind you, that probably nobody needed. That's why it showed up in that white elephant gift party. Or my favorite of all time, the potty putter. Yes, exactly is what it sounds like, the potty putter. It replaces the bath mat in front of your commode, and it's shaped a putting green that goes around your commode with a little hole in it, and you take the putter while you're doing your business, and you go off in the bathroom. The potty putter. Who thinks of these things? Who gives these things as gifts? I mean, this is what happens when you're in a white elephant gift. Or the one that I received this year at our staff Christmas party, the white elephant gift party, bacon soap. Yes, bacon soap, friends. You can clean yourself with it for 20 minutes and have a meal afterwards. I don't know. I mean, it's bacon-scented soap. Only in southeastern Ohio, this is what we do. We use bacon-scented soap. I don't know, but it was just a wonderful experience, a lot of fun. But those presents weren't necessarily given as acts of goodwill. But most gifts are, especially the goodwill that God showed us when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. And when we live in goodwill, we receive God's act of goodwill into our life. Goodwill is just simply wishing good things upon people. It's a desire to bring joy into people's lives. It's a desire to help somebody in need or to see people blessed. We just want to make good things happen in people's lives. It's the desire to see people bettered off in their life because of the joy in our heart. And because of the joy in our hearts, because we've been blessed by God, we want others to experience the same. And so we wish them and offer them goodwill. Christmas is about goodwill toward people. It's about spreading God's peace, spreading his love, spreading cheer, spreading hope, spreading his grace, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. All of that is an experience of goodwill. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 2, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David," and these are the angels declaring this to the shepherds that night, "who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing to the shepherds, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" So we want to talk about this goodwill that has come in the presence of Christ. Because at Christmas time we give presents, the P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S's, but Christmas Day is actually about God who came to give us his presence, the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, in the form of the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And with Christ come four distinguishing gifts that we've talked about over the course of this month. The first one is good news, the gift of good news. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of salvation. Last week, we talked about the gift of peace. And today, we're going to talk about the gift of goodwill that comes with the presence of God. The action of Jesus Christ coming into this world is a sign of God's good intentions. Christ coming to us and Christ born to us is a sign of God's faithful love for us. It's a sign that God cares for us, that He wants to see the best things happen in our life. He wants to give our life the best things possible, that He's come to save us, that He's come to bring us lasting joy. It's a sign that He's come to bring us peace and hope and all good things. It's a sign of His goodwill. And you have to think about it. If God was a God of ill will, there would never be a Christmas. There would never be a need to celebrate Jesus because Jesus wouldn't have come. God would just let us wallow in our sin and our death and destruction. So God is not out to judge you or condemn you or despise you or to bring harm to you or to end your life. No, God has come to give you life. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate sign that we have a God of goodwill. Am I talking to the right people here today? You have a God of goodwill. I pray that's a word of encouragement for you today. You have a God of goodwill. And that's good news, because we live in a world, a broken world. We live in a world filled with ill will. We need a little bit of goodwill today, don't we? We need a little bit of goodwill infused into our life that's filled with challenges. We need to be able to have this joy in the middle of our challenges and struggles. So why is it that there's so much ill will that happens in our life? It's so easy for me to kind of offer ill will to people in different ways, shapes, and forms. One of the ways is I happen to be a fan of The Ohio State University. Can I get an amen in this place? All right. Okay. And because I'm a fan of The Ohio State University, I actually have to be. I went there and spent a bunch of tuition and gave them a bunch of money. And when you do that, you kind of linger there a little bit. And you kind of celebrate that longer than your tuition experience, because you become a fan of the football team longer than you remember what you went to school for. I mean, that's what kind of happens. But anyways, big fan there. And so I take great joy when the Buckeyes win in a football game, basketball game, hockey match, underwater basket weaving. It doesn't matter. When they win, I take joy. But here's the sad part about it. I take equal joy when the state up north, that team that's up there, when they lose, when their coach is a mess and when the coaching staff is all blown out. I mean, I take equal parts joy in watching them fail as I do with watching the Buckeyes win. What is wrong with me? I mean, what is wrong with me? Why would I wish ill will upon an entire state or ill will upon an entire school? I mean, it's just sad, isn't it? And we don't even think about those times that we wish ill will. And it's kind of wild that both of those tend to bring me joy. I enjoy watching the Buckeyes as much as I enjoy watching the other team, well, lose. In Matthew, in the Bible, in chapter 2, starting at verse 7, we know a guy who was wishing ill will. We know a guy that was living for himself, and it was Herod. Herod was a guy that had his own life in mind, and he was wishing ill will upon Christ. It says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. So what happened is the Magi, they came from afar. They went up in Jerusalem. They hung out with Herod. Herod called them in because his astrologers and astronomers told him that, hey, listen, this Christ child, he's going to be born. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be king. Herod heard the word king and he freaked. You see, Herod didn't really want to go to worship Jesus. What did he want to do to Jesus? He wanted to kill him. He wanted to off him. He wanted to get rid of him. Why? Because he was going to intrude on his own ability to be in control, to be the head man, to be the guy in charge, to be king. And so he didn't want to go worship Jesus. He saw Jesus as competition. And that's the first place we fall when it comes to wishing ill will upon people. Now, competition isn't inherently bad, but competition leads to ill will. Because when you have competition, you need to eliminate the competition. And that's exactly what Herod saw Jesus as. He saw Jesus as competition to his throne, to his power, to his control. And so his desire was for the wise men to go and find Jesus so that he could send his guards to go and kill Jesus. Herod didn't want to lose his power, didn't want to lose his control, didn't want to lose his place. And it's easy to walk through life and see people as a means to our end. It's easy to walk through life and to see people as getting in the way to what we want. Because if they get what they want, then that means we won't get what we want. That's why we stand in line for hours before a store opens. Because not only do we need to make sure we get the gift that we want, we got to make sure the other 25 people behind us don't get the gift that we want. Because if sometimes they get what they want, we won't get what we want. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, we don't even realize this, that we walk through our life living in competition with people and see other people as a means to an end. It happens at work oftentimes with promotions, and we seek a promotion, and in order to get that promotion, that means someone else doesn't get the promotion. So we walk a fine line between being a blessing to other people, but also seeing our own advancement when it comes to our place of work. And the place where you see the most competition, at least in people's minds, I know it is for me, and I confess to you, is at potluck dinners. Potluck dinners. Because every once in a while, somebody will come in, and they will bring a golden, delicious bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Kentucky Fried Chicken, it is, for me, I just can't stop eating that stuff. And so you stand in line, and here's what happens. You look at the 50 people in front of you, and you're already counting the 12 pieces that are in that bucket, right? Because listen, I'm telling you, the problem with KFC is it only comes in 12 pieces or 18 people. There's an end to the bucket. That's the problem. And so I'm counting the number of heads, and I'm watching the number of kids. You know, and the kids, they always take the chicken breast. The little kid, the smallest kid in the whole room, he'll take this huge chunk of chicken. I'm like, I know you're not going to eat that. I'm going to come find you later. I'm going to come get that from you. Now, I'm not saying this out loud, mind you, because I love Jesus and I'm a pastor, and well, we can't have those kind of thoughts going on. But I mean, I'm thinking this in the back of my mind. I'm in competition with the 50 people that are in front of me to get a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken at the potluck. So here's my prayer. Oh, Lord, would you bless these people to enjoy their macaroni and cheese? Would you have them enjoy? Would you bless them to enjoy their salad? Lord God, would you bless them to enjoy that peanut butter pie over there? But Lord, would you create a hedge of protection around that bucket of KFC? Would you lock that lid? Would you lock that lid until I can get in line? I mean, if we're honest, we laugh at this, but it shows up so many more places in our life. It rears its ugly head that we look at people as a bother, that we look at people that they're in our way. And so we wind up not wishing them well. We want to see them lose, or we want to see them not get something so that we can get something. And we become consumed by life, and we actually consume other people's lives, and we take what we can. We're always on the take to the loss and the detriment of others. Here's what Paul has to say about this. I think this word is the price of admission today, so pay attention to what God has to say. My words have nothing to do up here. It is God's word that speaks for itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes this first letter to the church at Corinth. Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing? What's the point of all the competing? Watch this now. Here's the sentence that'll change your life. You already have all you need. You already have all you need in Jesus Christ. You can lose everything today and still have all you need in Christ. You already have more access to God than you can handle. Oh, man, you got so much access to God, you can't handle it. You have so many blessings in your life. No matter how much stuff you have, no matter how many broken relationships, no matter what your health is, good or bad, you have already all you need in Jesus Christ. So what more do you need from others? What more do you need to cut in line for? What more do you need to speed in traffic for? What more do you need to show up 3 hours early to get a package or present? What more do we need? Christmas is about having all we need in Jesus. Praise God. And so that is competition. The second struggle we have with this whole ill will thing is compensation. So we're in competition with other people. We got to get something in order for them to get us to get something. They don't need to get something. With compensation says that when we hurt, when we have pain, when we're suffering, we feel a little bit better about it when we see someone else fall, when we see someone else struggle, to see someone else fail. So you ever wish ill will on an athlete to fail like LeBron James or Brett Favre? I mean, I'm just speaking hypothetically here. I don't do these kinds of things, but I'm talking about you guys out there in the congregation today. Now, some of you are Cavaliers fans, and you remember, you know, a couple of 4 years ago when LeBron announced that he was taking his talents to South Beach, and all of us were like, you know, take your talents to South Beach, get out of here. Burning jerseys and getting ridiculous all over things, you know, tearing his poster down in Cleveland. The next day it was gone. And what happens? Like 5 years later, he's coming back, and he's the best thing since sliced bread. And the same people that were cursing him are welcoming him back. I mean, we love you, LeBron. I mean, we're just so ridiculous sometimes with the way that we act towards people. And I remember during those seasons, I would watch the Miami Heat just to watch him fail. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous what we do when we wish ill will upon people. Maybe you have a family member that you just know needs to be humbled. Maybe you're sitting next to him right now. Don't tell him that. All right. Don't tell them that. But maybe you're at work and you have an employee or somebody you work with or a coworker, and you're like, you know what? I wish that somebody would just humble that person. And that just tends to bring us a certain set of satisfaction, a certain amount of joy to compensate for the pain in our life. How else can you explain a show like The Simpsons lasting for 25 years on television? I mean, what is it about? And listen, I've watched enough Simpsons episodes, so I'm not here criticizing. I think it's hilarious stuff. But why are we so interested in so many sitcoms and so many shows that have to do with dysfunctional families and dysfunctional people? You want to know why? Because it makes us feel better about our life. I can watch Homer and all of a sudden my problems aren't so bad. I can watch this show and that show, and I can watch all this dysfunction happening out there, and I can feel a lot better about who I am. You see, when other people fail, it tends to prop us up a little bit. We tend to feel a little bit better about ourselves. And so we compensate for our emptiness and our hurt with the balm of other people's defeat. I know I'm not talking about anybody else in here today. We're just talking about all the people out there. But I know this is where we are from time to time in our life. And when we find ourselves taking pleasure in other people's misfortunes and failures, it is a sure sign that we need a little shot of the Christmas spirit in our arms and a little shot of God's goodwill in our hearts, because that's what Christmas is all about. So this is where we struggle with this whole ill will thing. We struggle with competition and compensation. And third and finally, we suffer with condemnation. Condemnation. When we hurt, or when we're hurt by somebody, we want to see them get hurt. When we're judged by somebody, we want to judge them, or we want to see them judged. We want people to see what's coming. We want people to get what's coming to them, and we want to see it happen. We want people to pay for what they did. We want there to be restitution for them to have to pay back. And we've been hurt before. We've been gossiped about before. We've had family members hurt us. We've been wronged before. And it's hard not to wish ill will upon folk like that. It's hard to not hold grudges. It's hard to offer forgiveness. It's hard to not act resentful. And when we act that way, it robs our joy, because we're also trying to steal their joy. It robs our desire to bring goodwill, and it doesn't allow us to be a blessing to other people. We just want to see their joy robbed, and somehow that might make us feel just a little bit better, to get even, to get that revenge. And in the Bible, in Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 38, Jesus has these words for us. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Whoa. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Watch this now. For with the measure you use on people, it is the measure you too will receive from God. Think about that for a second. Christmas is the day that the presence of God came down from heaven and into earth, and with it came His goodwill. It is the day that goodwill came down from the heavens, and it came and salted the earth with the presence of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that we have betrayed God. We've turned our back to God. We've sinned. We've gone and done our own thing. And rather than God coming down to off us all, like Herod wanted to do to Jesus, rather than Him condemning all of us, rather than Him having ill will towards us, which He has every right to do, He instead gave us mercy. He gave us grace. He blessed us with His Son. He sacrificed His one and only Son. And so when we can't offer goodwill to others, it's hard for us to receive it from God. And so when we're living with bitter, resentful, and unforgiving spirits in our hearts, we wind up being the most miserable people of all. And we have a choice. Do we want to live offering goodwill, or do we want to live offering ill will? I can tell you what God's already given to you. What are you ready to give to others? You cannot receive God's goodwill if you aren't willing to give it. You can't receive God's forgiveness if you're not willing to give it, because your unforgiveness will rot your heart. It'll rot you from inside out. Some of you are holding on to stuff right now. And this is the perfect time of the year to go to the altar of forgiveness and grace and goodwill and bless somebody. Bless somebody with it. This is what God has called us to do. And this is who He's called us to be. Christmas is that day. So let's talk a little bit about goodwill. We've talked enough about ill will. Let's talk about goodwill. And we're going to talk about the shepherds, because the shepherds were the ones that were approached by the angels. The angels were the ones that came to the shepherds and said, hey, listen, behold, I have good news of great joy. I would come to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. They received this goodwill message from God. They were filled with joy, and they spread this joy. Look in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 16 of that account. We're going to pick it up there. When the angels had left, the shepherds said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So first of all, they were just filled with an extreme amount of joy. They were filled with joy. They were filled with joy. I mean, they were like a child on Christmas morning who couldn't wait to get up and open up those presents. And I know what that's like, because I've got two young ones, and they will jump in on our bed and pounce on me and harm places I can't talk about. I mean, it hurts. It's painful. They jump on me. They jump on me, and they beat on me. They're like, Dad, get up. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I just went to bed at 2 because we had an 11 o'clock candlelight service the night before. Which, by the way, you guys coming to that? Christmas Eve, 5:37 and 11. You know, it's like a kid on Christmas morning. They can't wait. They can't wait to open those gifts. Or it's like a kid traveling to grandma's house, you know. Hey, Dad, when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? We just left 5 minutes ago. No, it's a 3-hour drive. 10 minutes from now. What time is it, Dad? I don't know. Ask your mom. Ask your mom. She'd love to answer that question. She'd love to answer that question. There's just this giddiness about the shepherds. There's this excitement. There's this joy that's welling up inside of them. They don't know what to do with it. It's like Scrooge on Christmas morning after the three spirits have gotten done visiting him. He feels as light as a feather, as merry as a schoolboy. He's kicking his slippers up in the air. He's a new man. I mean, this was what happens when you encounter Christ. This joy that moves in these shepherds' hearts, they don't know what to do with it. And because of it, they had a great desire to go and to see God, to go and to share this message of good news with Mary and Joseph. It moves them to rush off to see this Jesus with a kick in their step. And when you receive this good news, when you receive the act of good, the God's goodwill in your life, you will experience the nature of God, and it will make you giddy. It will fill you with joy. It will cause you to jump up out of your seats, out of your shoes, so that you can take the Christmas spirit to everybody you know, that you can take this Advent conspiracy people to everybody you know. I mean, that's why we're experiencing Hulkamania with Advent conspiracy. It's running wild. It's going crazy because we're sharing the good news of what God is doing in people's lives with people who have encountered Christ. And that's what happens is you want to go spread the joy. You want to go share it with other people. And that's what they did. Number two, their presence blessed Mary and Joseph. They went and spread the joy with Mary and Joseph. Picking up in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, watch this now, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds show up to the manger scene. They see Joseph and Mary. They bless them. They share the joy of what they had from the angels. And Mary treasures it all up. She soaks it all in. It's a tremendous blessing to her. So think about this for a second. While Herod is in his palace plotting and scheming about what he can get out of Jesus or how he needs to get rid of Jesus so he can get all he needs, power, pleasure, money, position, you know, authority, being king, what are the shepherds doing? On their way to seeing Jesus, they could have been doing the same things. They could have been plotting with one another. They could have been looking at their buddy and saying, hey, man, what do you think we can get out of this? I mean, maybe Jesus is like a lamp and a genie, and you just rub it, and you get three wishes. I mean, maybe when Jesus pops up and pops into this world, we're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. What kind of blessings do you think we're going to get? But that kind of stuff was furthest from their mind. They weren't pulling a Herod. Instead, they wanted to show up and share the blessed news. They wanted to share in the blessing of God's presence, of God's goodwill, God's good news that came to them from the angels. They showed up with full-blown joy. They walked into that manger scene. They walked into that stable. They walked into that room, and they lit it up with joy. They brought goodwill, and they brought a positive word with them. I mean, they were so giddy to share this good news with Mary about her son. They wanted to share with her that the angels had prophesied about who he's going to be. And it was their presence and their goodwill that blessed her so deeply and blessed her so profoundly. Why is that? Because Mary was struggling with this birth. We know that Mary was struggling with this birth. I mean, she felt blessed, but she also felt overwhelmed. You know, virgin birth, Savior of the world, you're going to be his mom. That's kind of overwhelming. So she was in and out of blessing and worry. She was in and out of excitement and concern. She was in and out of God's plan and a little bit of fogginess and a little bit of uncertainty and a little bit of surprise about what God was going to do. And so the shepherds come over and offer such a moment of goodwill, such profound blessing and encouragement from their words that the Bible says she treasures it all up. She treasures it all up. Now, the wise men were the ones that brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but yes, it says she treasures it all up when the shepherds show up with their positive words of encouragement and their goodwill and their desire to bless her. It is their act of goodwill that confirms in her heart the plan that God had already put there that she was a little bit uncertain about, that she was a little bit confused about. What a gift! What a gift that she received. That Joseph received from these shepherds, just from their presence. They didn't offer any presences. They just came and offered the presence of God, their own presence of goodwill. I know what this means. I know how powerful words of encouragement and acts of goodwill can be. You know, I celebrate all the ways that our kids came into our life, but one of the more challenging ways was the way Isabel came into our life. And she was born with a rare genetic disorder called Apert syndrome. And it was a challenging time in our life. Aaron and I were both, we were happy at the same time, and we were crushed at the same time. We felt blessed at the same time, and we felt confused at the same time. We felt like God had a plan at the same time, and we were wondering what God was trying to do all at the same time. You guys ever been in that situation before? And I remember sitting in that NICU, Miami Valley Hospital in Dayton, Ohio, day after she was born, holding her in my arms. I was crying and smiling all at the same time and just overwhelmed. I knew God had a purpose and a plan. I knew he brought her into our life for a reason and a purpose. But I will never forget the words of goodwill of a few people in that moment. Dr. Del Castro, Dr. Guy, nurses and aides who were with us, who even came to see us after they were done with their work. And God surrounded us with people that knew Jesus. Jesus was in their life, and so they were speaking encouraging words. Dr. Del Castro and Dr. Guy said, don't forget, God has a plan for her, John. Other people would come and say, she is so beautiful, there's going to be a way made for her. He would bring me information and research on Apert syndrome, and he'd say, this surgery is available, that surgery is available. Words of hope. They didn't offer physical gifts, but they offered the greatest gift of all. They offered their presence, and in doing so, they offered the presence of Christ. They spread joy. They brought cheer to our life. They encouraged us, and it brought certainty to me in my life of something I knew God was saying to me, that she was there for a reason and a purpose. And the same thing happened when the shepherds showed up for Mary. They gave her the greatest gift of all, the gift of goodwill. Those doctors and nurses wanted nothing but the best for us. They did everything they could beyond their own jobs to make sure that we were well cared for and that Isabel had a great way to step into the future. And look what God has done in 10 years. Praise be to God. I knew that this was a promise that God had given me, but I just needed a little bit of goodwill from somebody to step over the edge. When have you spoken a blessing of goodwill into somebody's life? When have you been a bearer of good news? I mean, it seems like we're always a bearer of bad news. It always seems like we're a part of offering ill will or receiving ill will from somebody. When have we been a part of the opposite? When have we walked into a room and just filled it with life? When was the last time we walked into a room and filled it with joy and filled it with God's goodwill and God's good news and just brought blessings into people's lives? Who do you know? Who do you know today that needs a message of joy, that needs a message of God's goodwill? And will you bring it? Don't forget, the wise men were the ones that brought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. All great things. All three of those things had to do with the prophetic nature of Christ crucified and raised from the dead for us. All of those gifts were important. But the shepherds brought the best gift of all. It was the one that Mary treasured up for the rest of her life. It was the gift of their presence. It was the gift of goodwill. Third and finally, they took the good news everywhere they went when they were done. When they got done with Jesus and meeting with Mary and Joseph, and they walked out of that manger scene in those stables, all the way home, they just spread joy and God's blessings and goodwill to every. I mean, they were goodwill spreaders. You know, like the Scott's lawn care deals, you know, with the wheels. And there's a drop spreader, you know, where everything falls inside the wheels. And a seed will fall, and the fertilizer will fall, and it's a little bit more accurate, and you don't get in your flower beds. Now, that's not the way I like to roll. I like to roll with the broadcast spreader. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's got this wheel on the bottom, and the fertilizer, and the grass falls down in that thing, and it's just going everywhere. I mean, it's going all over the place. It's going in your flower beds. It's going in the trees. It's going into your grass. It's going onto your driveway. I mean, it's just going everywhere. You're spreading seed. You're spreading fertilizer everywhere you go. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. I could picture them all the way home, returning all the way home, worshiping and singing about God, giving Him praises, offering people smiles and laughter and Merry Christmas on their lips, spreading joy, light as a feather, as giddy as a schoolboy. I mean, they're doing this Scrooge thing. They've been changed. Their lives have been turned over forever because they encountered Christ, and they're sharing the good news of a Savior that has been born this day, and it's their presence that brings goodwill to everyone in town. And they do it lovingly. They do it unashamedly. They share the good news. They share the goodwill of Jesus Christ with all. And the angels shared with them this good news that the presence of God is coming in Christ. And they took that good news and they went and they shared it with everyone and offered people goodwill. This is what happens when you encounter Christ. And I pray this Christmas that you have an extra special, extra important encounter with Christ because of Christmas in a way you haven't had before that will cause you to be filled with joy, to be filled with a giddiness and a peace that will change you from the inside out. Filled with the love of God that you haven't had before that changes you from the inside out, changes you in how you see people, changes you in how you feel about the person standing in front of you at the potluck dinner, changes how you feel about the person in the parking lot you're about to cut off, how you treat people, so that we'll be able to learn to bless people, not use people, to contribute to people's lives and not consume people's lives, and to bring goodwill into people's lives and not ill will. Let me wrap up with a couple of thoughts here with some action steps. Number one, invite somebody to tonight's concert or to Christmas Eve services on Wednesday evening. Why would you want to do that? Well, listen, there are two Super Bowls every year for local churches. And guess what one of them is? Easter. And Christmas Eve. Yeah, Easter and Christmas Eve. And these are two times a year where most people out there will come if you would invite them. But the problem is people are more willing to come than we are willing to invite them. We've got to invite them. So find somebody that you know needs a message of peace, hope, or we're going to talk about God's goodwill. We're going to talk about good news. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about peace. And I know everybody in this world needs it. So invite somebody. Invite them to come out to the Christmas concert tonight at 6. Oftentimes people don't want to come to worship service on Sunday morning. Maybe they'll come out to a concert at 6 o'clock. Tell them you want them to come out and see your kid or hear you sing in the choir. Invite them to come out. And then invite them to come out Christmas Eve at 5:37 or 11. Number two, give someone your presence of goodwill, your presence of goodwill. Speak a positive word into someone's life. Show up in their life in a powerful way. Third and finally, share God's goodwill by spending less and giving more. Spending less and giving more. Did you know, if you think about it, Advent Conspiracy really is all about God's goodwill. It's about taking what God has blessed us with and not spending it on things that we don't need or our friend doesn't need or our family doesn't need, and really taking that money and giving to somebody who really has a need, whose life hangs in the balance, no access to clean water, doesn't have a place to lay their head, doesn't have a house to live in. These are real life issues. They don't even have a chance to live because they're about to get bit by a mosquito and die of malaria. But see, the money that we give can change lives. The money that we can give can save lives. I can't think of a greater act of goodwill than our process of Advent Conspiracy. And I will tell you this, God somehow ordained that on this day, when we were going to take up our Advent Conspiracy offering, He had a message and a sermon prepared for His goodwill. Now, I would like to take credit for that, but I can't. Only God does stuff like that. It's called a divine appointment. And I pray that God moves in your life. Praise be to God.